Attention, attention, this is History Lost in Time.
And welcome to episode 64 of the History Lost in Time podcast. This podcast is available in German and English and has presences on YouTube, Spotify, Podcast.de, Blue Sky and Instagram. There's also a music-based partner project on YouTube called HLITAI Music.
The topic of this episode.
Following episode 50, in which I discussed old tanks in the Ukraine war, I am now continuing with an episode about old infantry weapons in the Ukraine war. Just as with tanks and air defense, you also find old infantry weapon systems that have been reactivated. In the case of infantry, they are significantly older, some dating back to the 19th century. Yes, really, no joke.
Political agenda and background.
As I said in episode 50, I want to present a politically neutral account of the outdated weapon systems used in the Ukraine war. I have my own opinion about the war and internet discussions won't change it. I assume that's the case for most others as well. So let's just skip the political debate. If we are honest, we have to admit that none of the decision makers are interested in our individual opinions anyway. And let's just focus on the military facts.
The sources that were used.
For this episode, I'm using a mix of online sources. Due to the unclear nature of the information available, it's possible that some of these sources contain inaccuracies and that these may need to be corrected later. However, I have tried to gather information to the best of my knowledge and belief without intending to push it in any particular direction. Among the tanks in Ukraine, we see weapon systems ranging from the T-54, whose origins date back to the late 1940s, to modern weapon systems such as the M1 Abrams, the Leopard 2, or the latest variants of the T-90. The range of infantry weapons is considerably broader. Regular and elite units of the Russian and Ukrainian armies are equipped with the best equipment and state-of-the-art weaponry. However, neither army was prepared for such a long and large-scale war. To be honest, no one in the world was. Especially in Germany, the prevailing opinion was that large and protracted wars of this kind were a thing of the past, and that modern wars would be fought with special forces and cyber weapons. And these units and weapons certainly have their place. But if the war in Ukraine has taught us anything, it's that traditional weapons like infantry and artillery are indispensable in large-scale wars. To equip the mass armies of Russia and Ukraine, both states had to deploy everything they could. This involved delving deep into their stockpiles and repurposing stuff that would normally be found in museums, sometimes with surprisingly good results. What one could expect were older Soviet assault rifles and machine guns. Virtually all variants of the AK-47 assault rifle, including the original, as well as modernizations like the AKM and the AK-74, were used by both sides. Does the AK-47 really need any introduction? Well, for the three people in the world who don't recognize the term, the AK-47 is the first and oldest Soviet assault rifle. It was introduced into the Soviet armed forces in 1949. Its development was inspired by the German Sturmgewehr 44, which was used in small numbers by the Wehrmacht towards the end of World War II. In its original form, the AK-47 weighed around 3.5 kilograms and fired 7.62 millimeter bullets. Over the decades, the AK-47 was repeatedly modernized and saw service worldwide. Its design is so iconic that it has even been immortalized on national flags, such as that of Mozambique. Older Soviet machine guns from the 1960s and 70s, such as the PKM and the RPK-74, are also in use. The PKM is a weapon based on the 1961 PK machine gun and has been in service since 1969. It's an air-cooled machine gun weighing 9 kilograms and chambered in 7.62 millimeters. The RPK-74 looks like an AK-74 assault rifle with a front-mounted bipod and is considered a light machine gun. It weighs around 4.7 kilograms and has a caliber of 5.45 millimeters. The use of the RPG-7 rocket launcher is also hardly surprising. It has been in service since 1961 and is used worldwide. The weapon weighs approximately 7 kilograms and has a maximum range of 700 meters, although its accuracy at this distance is extremely low. Tests conducted by the US Army in 1976 showed that the hit rate drops sharply at distances beyond 100 meters. At 50 meters, the hit rate was 100%, at 100 meters, it was 96%, at 200 meters, it was only 51%, and at 400 meters, it was a mere 9%. There are various types of ammunition available, ranging from armor-piercing heat rounds to fragmentation warheads and thermobaric warheads. The warheads weigh between 2 and 4.5 kilograms. All these weapons are robust, effective, and above all, cheap and widely available. The armies are very familiar with them, and the production of ammunition and spare parts is not a problem. The use of these weapons is therefore hardly surprising, and they continue to serve well. As for personal equipment, there are also significant differences between elite units and mobilized troops. Initially, even old 1.3 kilogram Soviet SSH-40 steel helmets from World War II were used due to a shortage of modern helmets. Body armor was also not available for every soldier, and items like night vision devices were rare. Some cartridge pouches and bayonets were also still from World War II. Ukraine benefited from Western aid shipments, while Russia was able to gradually improve the situation by ramping up its war economy. So much for the unsurprising weapon systems. However, there are far older weapon systems in use that might surprise some. The oldest weapon system is probably the indestructible Mosin-Nagant bolt-action rifle, the standard-issue weapon of the Russian infantrymen in the First World War. This rifle weighs around 4 kilograms and exists in various calibers, including 7.62 millimeters, 7.92 millimeters, and 30-06 Springfield. It is loaded with a 5-round clip but must be manually reloaded with the bolt after each shot. It has a low rate of fire compared to modern assault rifles, but it is very accurate. Its effective range is a respectable 850 meters, and it is therefore occasionally used as a sniper rifle. The Mosin-Nagant was developed in 1891 and has thus been in service for around 130 years. Not many weapon systems can claim that. The second 19th century weapon whose use is documented is the Nagant revolver of 1895, which is still occasionally used as a secondary weapon. It weighs approximately 800 grams and uses either 7.62 mm or 0.32 ACP ammunition. It has a 7-shot cylinder and an effective range of about 50 meters. Far more widespread, especially on the Ukrainian side, is the Maxim machine gun from 1910. This machine gun, over 110 years old, is a veteran of the First World War. It is very heavy and water-cooled. The weapon itself weighs 27 kilograms. The lighter Sokolov rack weighs between 36 and 45 kilograms, while a rack on wheels weighs a hefty 170 kilograms. Comparing this weight to older Western machine guns like the American M60 or the German MG3 clearly demonstrates the difference in class. Even with a large rack, these machine guns weigh as much as the Maxim without a rack. A modern machine gun can be carried and operated by a single infantryman without much difficulty. A Maxim is something for a small group. However, the Maxim, being a water-cooled machine gun, has a decisive advantage. While modern air-cooled machine guns require a barrel change after a few hundred rounds because the barrel overheats, A Maxim can be used almost continuously, firing thousands of rounds without ever overheating. For point defense, where frequent changes of position are not necessary, a Maxim can therefore be quite advantageous. Furthermore, since the Maxim uses modern ammunition, including 7.62mm and 7.92mm depending on the variant, its operation is not a major problem. Ukraine found hundreds of these machine guns in old Soviet depots, and they continue to serve well. After all, what cost thousands of soldiers their lives in the First World War is still deadly today. Isolated sightings of Tokarev SVT-40 rifles, PPSH-41 submachine guns, and DP-27 machine guns have also been reported. The Tokarev SVT-40 is a semi-automatic gas-operated rifle and is therefore similar to the American M1 Garand. It is based on the earlier SVT-38 and was introduced in 1940. It weighs just under 4 kilograms, uses 7.62mm caliber ammunition, and has a 10-round magazine. During World War II, it proved less robust than expected, but it inspired the Wehrmacht to develop the Gewehr 43 rifle. The PPSH-41 submachine gun is an iconic Soviet infantry weapon of World War II. It was often equipped with large drum magazines holding 71 rounds. While its range was very short, only 150 to 200 meters, its high rate of fire and widespread use meant that Soviet soldiers could easily overwhelm German Wehrmacht units equipped only with the Karabiner 98K in close combat with a hail of bullets. The weapon weighs approximately 3.5 kilograms and uses either 7.62mm or 9mm parabellum ammunition. The DP-27 machine gun was introduced into the Soviet armed forces in 1928. It has a distinctive disc magazine mounted on top of the weapon. It weighs approximately 9 kilograms and uses 7.62mm ammunition. The weapon is considered quite effective. In the category of heavy infantry weapons that have been reactivated are the 45mm M1937 anti-tank gun, the 7.62cm ZIS-3 field gun, and old Soviet 82mm and 120mm mortars dating from the 1930s and 1940s. The 45mm M1937 is obviously no longer usable as an anti-tank weapon today. However, it can also fire fragmentation and shrapnel ammunition. It is therefore still effective against soft targets and unarmored or lightly armored vehicles. The weapon is wheeled and can thus be towed by vehicles. It weighs approximately 1.2 tons, has a rate of fire of up to 20 rounds per minute, in a range of about 4 kilometers. The ZIS-3 was introduced into the Red Army in 1942. It is also wheeled and therefore mobile. It weighs approximately 2.2 tons and has a maximum rate of fire of 25 rounds per minute. Its range is around 13 kilometers. It can fire a wide variety of ammunition, from armor-piercing and high explosive to shrapnel and smoke. It therefore remains effective against soft targets and lightly armored or unarmored vehicles. The Soviet 82mm M1937 mortar would be instantly recognizable to anyone who has seen even a single Vietnam-era war film, a barrel mounted on a frame, firing indirectly. Weighing 56 kilograms, the mortar fires 3 kilogram shells and can fire up to 30 shells per minute. Its maximum range is 3 kilometers. An improved model, the M1941, has similar specifications. The heavier variant, the 120mm mortar, also comes in two versions, the PM38 from 1938 and the PM43 from 1943. These weigh around 275 kilograms, fire 16 kilogram shells, have a range of approximately 6 kilometers, and a rate of fire of about 10 shells per minute. All these weapons are robust and still effective, albeit outdated. But here too, the principle applies. What was deadly then is still dangerous today. If a mortar shell explodes next to a soldier, it makes absolutely no difference what century the mortar itself is from, because human nature hasn't changed significantly over time. Old infantry vehicles have also been sighted in use on occasion. These include the GAZ 67, the Soviet Jeep, first built in 1943, and the Studebaker US 6, the American Lend-Lease truck, which first saw service in 1941. However, their use is largely symbolic. The vehicle's relevance is very limited. The GAZ 67 was produced from 1943 to 53. It has a 3.3-liter gasoline engine that produces 54 horsepower. The 3.3-meter-long vehicle weighs approximately 1.3 tons. The American Studebaker US 6 was produced from 1941 to 45 and delivered to the Soviet Union in enormous numbers. It weighs around 4.5 tons empty, is over 6 meters long, and is powered by an 86 horsepower gasoline engine. It has a top speed of 72 kilometers per hour and a range of about 380 kilometers. Depending on the version, it can carry a payload of up to 4.5 tons. Among the most unusual items are individual German Carabiner 98K rifles, the standard rifle of the Wehrmacht in World War II, which have been sighted sporadically on the Ukrainian side, often in the possession of territorial defense units. This 4-kilogram bolt-action rifle fires 7.92mm ammunition and is accurate up to 1,000 meters with telescopic sights. It has a 5-round clip magazine, but must be manually reloaded after each shot using the bolt. It is based on the older Gewehr 98, which was the standard rifle of the German Imperial Army in World War I. After World War II, millions of Carabiner 98K rifles ended up in Soviet depots, and that is how Ukraine came to possess these weapons.
A few finishing words.
Overall, the use of these older weapons is not decisive for the outcome of the war. With the exception of the Maxim machine gun, they are used sporadically, selectively, and by secondary units. However, their deployment demonstrates how deeply both sides must dip into their stockpiles to equip their armies. Western deliveries to Ukraine, as well as domestic production on both sides, naturally ensure that these older weapons can be gradually replaced. On the other hand, the losses in personnel and material on both sides are so high that abandoning functioning weapons, regardless of age, is simply not an option.
Thank you. This was History Lost in Time.